invite you to open up to the book of Proverbs, the second chapter. Proverbs, the second chapter. As you can see up here on the back wall here, we're going to start a new series today. We spent 6 weeks on the last one. But I tell you, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's been rolling around in my heart for quite some time, and it was just a matter of the right timing when we were going to teach on this. And it's called this, What to Do When. What to do when. Father, we thank you today for the Holy Spirit. May he give us fresh utterance and direction and wisdom. Speak through my lips today, Father. Think through my mind. Speak through my lips, Lord, that we all come up to a higher place today. We bind every and all distractions. We thank you, Lord, for a clear, sound mind and spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a situation, which I'm sure you have, where you're like, as a believer, I'm not sure what to do. I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? Okay, this is what we're going to talk about, I believe, in this particular series. We call it What to Do When, fill in the blank. Okay? We're going to talk about what to do when today I don't know what to do. Okay? That's what I want to start with. What to do when you don't know what to do. We're also going to talk about what to do when your back's up against the wall. What to do when sickness and pain come to your house. And now each week it's going to be a different topic we're going to talk about. Okay? What to do when I'm persecuted. What to do when I feel lonely. What to do when I feel depressed. Okay? And so God has some practical answers for us to look into these things, to know what to do, hands-on type stuff. Amen? How many of you are interested in some easy, practical things about hands-on things that you know what to do when a situation comes up? You'll be going along, you'll say, oh, I know what Pastor Keith taught about in that service a couple of weeks ago. That's exactly what I need to do. Amen? But what I want to talk about today, first of all, is what to do when you don't know what to do. Now, I've been there more times than I'd like to think. But know this, there's never been a situation that you have faced presently or in the past or in the future. There's never been a situation that you will ever face that God doesn't have a way of escape for you. Now, I'm not talking about going in like an ostrich and bury your head in the sand. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a biblical answer for you to get help in that present situations. Okay? I'm going to cover two particular areas today. What to do when I don't know what to do. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that, write down this. Realize that God has a wisdom key for each and every problem we face. Realize, again, that God has a wisdom key to each and every problem that we face. Now, that's really important for us to understand that. God has a wisdom key. Now, you'll see in the scripture that we're going to open up with in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. And it says this, For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Isn't that good? Boy, when God speaks, you know, every time he speaks, there's wisdom coming out. Amen? Now, I'm sure that you've probably heard people talk before and said, that's a fool talking right there. But let me tell you something. When God speaks, it's always wisdom. Always. Now, notice the next verse in verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. In verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Now, notice in verse 7 here that the Bible says here, Proverbs, Solomon, of course, being the writer of Proverbs. And by the way, at that time, he was considered the wisest person that ever lived on the planet Earth, other than Jesus. Jesus said, a wiser than Solomon is here. He was talking about himself. And so you got Solomon, and then you got Jesus. And the Bible says that people came from the very utmost ends of the earth to hear, to sit at Solomon's feet and to hear his wisdom. How many people do you know like that? I mean, the Queen of Sheba packed her bags, her camels and everything. She came for miles to come. She says, I've heard about you. But she literally almost fainted because she said, a half wasn't even told me about your wisdom and your wealth and your knowledge. Amen. He was also the richest man that ever lived. Notice the connection between wisdom and riches. Amen. So when you get wisdom, you get riches and wealth with it. It comes with it. It's a package deal. It's like when you buy your car, the steering wheel comes with it. Right? Now, notice in verse 7, it says that sound wisdom is laid up, what? For the righteous. Say, for the righteous. I think some people read this as sound wisdom is laid up from the righteous. You know, God just kind of dangles the carrot out there and says, you know, I got some wisdom for you, but you can't touch it. It says sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous. So in other words, there's wisdom that's out there that's laid up for you and for me. But our job is to find out, how do we tap into that wisdom? Now, like I said, there's many of you here, have you ever faced situations where you just didn't know what to do? After being saved. Am I the only one? Anybody here? You just didn't know what to do. Okay, we can participate here together, all right? Amen? So here's the key. Number one is to realize that God has a wisdom key for each and every problem that we face. Sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous. That's you, not from the righteous. Now here's where we're going to take off. Let's go to James, the first chapter here. James chapter 1. And let's talk about what to do when I don't know what to do. All right? So let's make it real clear, first and foremost, that God has an answer for you for your current problems that you face. Amen? Amen? See, we really don't have a problem in this life. We have a wisdom problem. If we're going through something, I'm telling you, if we're failing to receive somehow in our lives, there's a wisdom key that's missing. Because if we get God's mind, if we get God's wisdom on any given situation, we're going to know exactly what to do. Have you ever gotten God's wisdom on a situation? Man, it feels good, doesn't it? It's good, sweet to the soul when you get wisdom. Now, in James chapter 1, we see it. We'll start in verse 1. It says, James. And we know that James was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. His mother was Mary. His mother was Mary. His father was Joseph. But Jesus, his father was God. His mother was Mary. But James came out of the household of Jesus. Brother Dan talked about that this morning. And so he grew up in the same household. But Jesus, of course, was the firstborn. All right. Then he had other brothers and sisters. The Bible is very clear about that. And so James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Let's stop right there. Why are the 12 tribes scattered abroad? Because of persecution. And you and I have never felt, we've never faced, as an individual and as a nation, we've never faced this type of persecution like this, where your life is on the line, okay? And so they're scattered all over the place. And he says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And here's what James says in verse 2. My brethren, so you know he's writing to Christians here. Yeah, you don't call sinners brethren, all right? He says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now that's the King James. Another translation says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. King James says diverse, okay? Or diverse temptations. That doesn't mean you're tempted to dive in a pool somewhere, you know what I mean? It's a diverse temptation. Deep sea diving or something. But he says to these Christian folks, he said, consider it joy, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now that's, you know, as well as I do, that's the flesh doesn't want to do that. No. Count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations? Because our tendency in the natural is to throw our hands down, to get all depressed, to get all concerned when we're going through temptation. But he says right here, this is the biblical response to this. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Just count it for joy. Knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, this is very interesting here. The trying of your faith worketh patience. So in other words, the Bible says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Mm-hmm. And patience is very important. People say, Lord, I want patience. I want it right now. Amen. Biblical patience just means being steady, being consistent, doing the same thing when you get up in the morning, at lunchtime, dinner time, at nighttime, get up in the morning. You're doing the same thing. You're doing what's right. You with me now? And there's something about waiting and being patient until the thing that you're trusting for literally comes to pass. That can take off pounds of flesh, if you know what I'm talking about. Dear God, you better wait. You ever prayed about something and you waited for it? Just a few of us. Okay? But there's this, there's something called patience that works inside of us that gets our roots deeper. There's been times I've been through some stuff, some rough stuff, you know, like y'all have. And at the time, you're like, your flesh is screaming out, oh, God, I want delivered from this thing. But there's something about, brother and sister, there's something about when you're patient during the process that you're trusting God to deliver you from whatever that is. And you're patient inside because your trust roots, listen to me, your trust roots are growing deeper and deeper and deeper where you're not shaken by that stuff anymore. I look back in my life and there are some areas in my life, like all of us, that used to just rattle me and shake me. You know what I'm saying? But through practice and working with the Word and working with patience, I've learned, and I'm still learning, to let patience have her perfect work. Praise the Lord. I can enjoy the journey. I'm trusting the Lord. Whatever that is. And I can enjoy my Christianity. I can enjoy my daily Monday through Friday type thing. Amen? And so he says, let patience, verse 4, have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Now, he's talking specifically here, listen to me, he's talking specifically about people that are in a test and in a trial. Now, you know as well as I do that when you're in a test and you're in a trial, that's the most important time to have God's wisdom, isn't it? In other words, to do the right thing. And so, in verse 5, here's where I want to focus on this, all right? What to do when you don't know what to do is to pray for wisdom. Pray for godly wisdom. Now, I'm going to show you how to do that, okay? Because he says, he's talking about temptations, tests and trials and so forth. And he says, if any man lacks wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God. Who are we supposed to ask? God. All right, so we're supposed to ask God. A lot of times we go to everybody but God. And let me tell you this while I'm on this. You can never make another person your God. Never make your husband, your wife, your friend. Never, never, ever lean on someone as if they are God because they're not. I'm not God. I'm a pastor, but I'm not God. Thank God I'm not. Amen? But sometimes people, we have a tendency to lean so heavily on people when we should be leaning heavily upon God. Okay? Because we're all human, but we have a God. And he wants us to come to him. And he wants us to lean on him and to trust in him. And I'll tell you, it's the best, the safest place you can be is when you're putting your trust in him. Now I'm telling you, it's the greatest place you can be. Whew. The Bible talks about he that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. Ha ha. Oh, I'm happy. Count it all joy. Well, I'm trusting the Lord. Listen, you don't have to wait to get happy. You know, I can tell by the looks on some of your faces, you're kind of waiting for that thing to come through. You know what I'm saying? Well, brother, when it does happen, I'll get happy. No, get happy now. Because your answer's on the way. I'm telling you, your answer's on the way right now. Your wisdom key is on the way right now. But he says in verse 5, yeah, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, I've been there. You've been there. All of us have been there. Let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Okay? No, he's not talking politics here. Okay? The Lord's a liberal giver. The liberal God, the gracious God, who gives to all people liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Now, here's the key. Here's how we pray for wisdom. All right? What do I do when I don't know what to do? Now, we started out with this. God has a wisdom key. But the second thing is this. We are to pray and ask God for wisdom concerning your decisions. Now, listen, that decision could be anything. It could be an investment that you're about to make or someone you're about to get involved with, you know. And it could be anything across the spectrum, all right? What we are to do is we are to seek God's wisdom. And I can tell you from personal experience that anytime I've gotten myself in trouble is when I did things in my own insight, in my own wisdom, and I got myself in a heap of trouble. Amen. I meant well. You know, you mean well. It's a mistake. It's a mistake of the head, not of the heart. Okay? Well, it looked good. It, you know, looked like a great opportunity. But, you know, the more you get involved, you realize that was not the wisdom of God. It says right here in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. That's what the Amplified says. That gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Okay, so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to ask for what? Wisdom. So how do we do that? We say, Father, I'm facing this situation right here. And when you tell the Lord, it's not like that's the first time he heard about it. He knows, listen, God knows everything about you. The Bible says he has the very hairs on your head numbered. He knows the number of cells in your body. I don't even know that. But the Lord knows that. That's how intimate he is with you and me. That's how much he loves us. So it's not like you're telling him something. He's like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that, you know. When you tell God about your situation, he already has the end from the beginning, the answer already figured out for you. Amen? And so our job is to ask him for wisdom regarding that situation. Now, as you're reading verse 6, this is the biggest key to asking when you ask for wisdom. Okay? So verse 5, he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask him for what? For wisdom. Verse 6 says, let him or her ask in faith, nothing wavering. Say nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now he moves from asking God for wisdom to asking anything of the Lord. He says, if you waver, you won't receive. Now I can understand sometimes why I may have failed in the past or why others have failed in the past to receive. It's not that God didn't give it to us. The answer always came. But here's the key. When you ask for wisdom, you have to believe you receive it and not waver. He says, it's like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, in other words, you ask for something and then you back out. You ask for something, then you back out. Now, it's interesting because he uses this illustration here about the waves and the winds. Anybody here ever been to the ocean before? Yeah, I like the ocean. As long as I'm by the shoreline, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty crazy. A number of years, way back in the day, this before we had kids, I paid all this money to go deep sea fishing. I think it was like $100 or something like that, you know. And I went we went on vacation with a friend of ours, a pastor friend of ours actually, and him and his wife. And so we're like, we're going to go deep sea fishing, man. We were fired up, I'm telling you. Got our $100 together, you know. We're going to catch some big fish, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'd never been out there on a boat before, but we went out there and then the boat stopped. Then they put the anchors down, but the boat was going back and forth like this. And within a few minutes, I'm saying, Jesus, help me. And I would say there's about 80 people on the boat, okay? I was the only person on the boat that was seasick. Everybody's smiling, having a good time. And I'm laying in the inside the where the captain is. I'm laying in there groaning. And they're not going to turn the boat around and go back. No, no, no. I had to wade that thing out. Okay? So I have a little bit of understanding about wavering. Wavering will make you sick. Okay? Naturally and spiritually. Now, wavering simply means this, okay? When you're asked for wisdom, it says, let him ask in faith. It's not just a matter of, Lord, I need wisdom on this situation. He said, you have to ask in faith. Don't waver. Okay? So in other words, you say, Father, I need specific wisdom for this situation, and I'm asking you in faith right now. I need wisdom for that. And you walk away. And where does wavering come in? Wavering simply means this. Wavering means that you change what you're saying and you change what you're thinking. So you pray, okay, so you're dealing with the situation. You say, Lord, I need wisdom about this relationship, okay, or whatever. So you've asked for wisdom. Or I have need for wisdom for this financial situation, Lord. I need wisdom. So the Lord sends the wisdom. But then 5 minutes later or 30 minutes later or an hour later, someone asks you, hey, how's that situation going? You say, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not sure what to do. What is that? Wavering. Wavering. And it says when we waver, we don't receive. Now listen, God's not just trying to make it hard on us. Okay? That's when people say things like this. They make statements. They say, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work. Okay, so you're saying that the Bible doesn't work. Instead of looking at yourself and say, I'd waver. And how many of you know, if something fails, it's never on God's end. If there's a failure, it's not coming from heaven's end. It's coming from our natural side, on earth. Okay? Now, that should help us, because if there's any adjustments that need to take place, it's on the inside of us. And I don't know about you, but I have wavered before when I've prayed for things. And I failed to receive. But he says right here, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to all men liberally wisdom. But let, verse 6 says, let him ask in faith. Is it important for you to ask in faith? Oh, yes, it is. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not, now here's where verse 7 kicks in. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if I waver, that means I do without. Think about that. If I pray for healing and I waver, I don't get healed. Now, I didn't set the program up. God set it up like this. But let me tell you something. When you don't waver, you receive. Now, your head might be tempted to waver. You'll get, trust me, you'll get thoughts in your mind, like all of us do, that said, you know, it'll say, well, you prayed for that, but it doesn't look like it's happening. Okay? That's when you have to let your mouth determine what you're going to receive. You know, the answer is in your mouth and in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thine mouth and in thine heart? That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul said that, amen? That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The first way that you waver is with your mouth. Now, I had something happen to me about 25 years ago. And the Lord taught me a lesson through this. That we had just started our first church. You know, we were in my office was in my upstairs small bedroom. We had a two-bedroom house, and my office was in this bedroom. And so I was busy preparing something, you know, one of my lessons or something. And I had this really nice pen that I had. And I put it in my mouth. Do you ever do that before? You just or put it in your ear, you know, put the pencil in there. And I forgot it was in there. I was just doing my thing, you know. And I'm going about, and I'm thinking, what did I do with that pen? And I'm looking around, I'm looking under my desk, you know, and I thought, what happened to it? All of a sudden, my eyes were open, and I realized, The thing that I was looking for was in my mouth. And the Lord spoke to me through that. He said, son, a lot of times you're looking for the very thing and it's right in your mouth. The answer's in your heart and in your mouth, in your mouth and in your heart. I was looking for something and it was right in my mouth. Your wisdom key is in your mouth. And when you pray for wisdom about a situation, never change what you're saying. Amen? You pray at 8 a.m. on Monday morning, at 8 p.m. Monday night. If you still don't know what to do, what do you do? You say, Lord, I thank you that I believed I received this morning. I believe I received your wisdom regarding this situation. Oh, I thank you for it, Lord. And you go about your way. That way you're not wavering. You're still in faith. And when you stay in faith, heaven's answers are coming to you. Regardless, I mean anything. I have proven this out time and time and time again. When you hold fast the confession of your faith, your confession of your lips without wavering, that's what the Bible says. Hold fast. And that's why there's a gazillion Christians that think that speaking in the word of faith and speaking the word of God is nonsense. Let me tell you something. You're governed by the words of your mouth. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You're saved by your words. You're justified by your words. You're condemned by your words, the Bible says. Amen? And so I want to make sure that this boy is speaking what God says when God says something, and I pray for wisdom. Now, I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again today. A number of years ago, I this is a natural thing, but I had this particular suit that was given to me from another minister, okay? And it was a really peculiar type of suit. It was a very expensive suit, and he sewed to me like 3 or 4 of these suits. He gave them to me. Amen? I know I wouldn't fit in them now, I'll tell you that. But we're going back 25 years, okay? And it was a kind of a brownish color, you know? So I had to get a pair of socks that matched that suit. Okay, so I did. I went out and got the pair of socks, you know. Well, there came a day that I lost track of somehow one of the socks. Now, you need both to work, right? Okay. And so I'm doing my normal thing. I make no apologies for repeating this if you've heard it before, okay, because it's important to understand this. Brother Hagin repeated his stories thousands of times. But there's always someone there, and even if you heard it the fifth time, you'll get it. Instead of getting, see, if someone repeats something and it frustrates you, you don't have a revelation of it. If it frustrates you, you don't have a revelation of it. Amen. So I'm looking behind this and that and everything. Then I started on Lynn. I go, Lynn, what did you do with my sock? You're doing the wash. What did you do with the sock? I don't know, honey. Finally, she, you know, and a day or two later, she goes, did you pray about it? Well, you know, you got a flesh, right? Your flesh is like, oh, come on. But the Lord actually butted in on me. He says, she's right. Did you pray about it? No, I didn't pray about it. Frustrated. Now, we're talking about a sock here, a missing sock. Could I have gone out and bought a new pair? Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't want to. I know it's somewhere in this house. Okay? And I can't do what Adam did and blame his wife, okay? Then she blamed the snake, you know what I mean? Passed the buck. So there's a missing sock. I just don't know where it's at. But see, the Lord knows, the Lord knew where Saul's donkeys were.
That's right.
Right? He didn't know where they were, but he was missing some donkeys. Okay? Now, I wasn't missing donkeys. I was missing a sock. My point is this. God is interested in everything that concerns you. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, he will perfect that which concerns you. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Let's settle that right now. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Amen? The Lord likes what you like. I had the opportunity early in the week to go skiing with my son, downhill skiing. And I'm telling you, I had the time of my life. Bless God. Going down that hill. Where else can you go down a mountain at 30 miles an hour and look around and enjoy the scenery that God made? Now, that may, whatever floats your boat, you know what I'm saying? I love to ski, you know what I'm saying? And I was just enjoying myself. I mean, I was enjoying myself. All right, the grandstand's getting a little out of hand here. I talked to the Lord all the time. I talk to him. I don't just get down on my knees in my bedroom and pray. I talk to God all as much as I possibly can. I carry on conversations with him. And I told the Lord while I'm on that slope, you know, and I said, Lord, I'm just loving this. Someone had given us some gift cards to go, so it barely cost us anything to go, you know, and for Christmas and so forth. And I thought, praise God, I'm enjoying this, Lord. And I heard the Lord in my heart say, son, I'm enjoying it too because I'm right there in you. Amen. It dawned on me, God likes to ski. And he said, son, it's what you like is what I like. If you like basket weaving, God likes basket weaving. Amen. Whatever you enjoy, as long as it's legal and, you know, not non-scriptural, you understand that. I enjoy that drug, man. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying. As long as it's not going to hurt you and hurt somebody else. But see, this is the kind of God that we serve, that he loves you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to enjoy life. He doesn't want you, you know, only having experiences once every 6 months. You're like, wow, I can't wait till that time. He wants you to enjoy life every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's times I probably get on Kelly's nerves, but I just want to dance through the house sometimes. I say, glory to God. Hallelujah. She said, go ahead, Dad. And I'm just happy. Yeah, we'll get on that. But it's just that Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, listen, I've come that you might have and enjoy life in abundance, to the full, till it overflows, in John 10:10 in the Amplified. I've come that you might have and enjoy life in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. So, getting back to that sock issue here, she said, well, hon, did you pray about it? I said, no. You know, and I was a little irritated, to be honest with you. And sometimes the right answer can irritate us because we know in our hearts are condemning us because we're not doing it. The Bible says, pray about everything. And the Lord said, she's right. You know, the Lord was backing her up. And, and I said, yeah, Lord. All right, I humble myself. Because, I mean, I'm spending 3 days looking all over the place, looking behind here, looking over here, looking in the, you know, everywhere I could think of, but I'm lacking wisdom. I'm lacking wisdom here. I'm making a point. You have not because you ask not. So I said this, okay, and I remember the exact place where I was. I said, Father, you know where this sock is, and what concerns me concerns you. Now, I'm asking you right now for wisdom, that you show me where that thing is. Now, here's what happened. I just prayed. Within 20 seconds, 15 seconds, something like that, with just a few seconds, all of a sudden this thought came into my mind to look behind this dresser, okay? It has a big mirror on it, and a dresser is in our second bedroom, you know? Kids are just small at this point, you know? And it was one of their bedrooms. I think it was Kelly's bedroom, actually. And I had this thought, look behind that dresser right there, you know? And so immediately I'm thinking, there's no way it could be back there. But I acted on it anyway. I went over there and I looked behind there, and lo and behold, that thing was stuck down. I guess what happened is we put some of the laundry on top of the dresser and a sock fell behind. Okay? Now, those first 3 days, I'm looking and I'm looking, but I never thought of looking there. But when I prayed for wisdom, the answer immediately came. Now, I doubted it in my head. I thought, well, what's the heck? I'll go look. I didn't look there. But I went and I looked there and I thought, God Almighty, the God that made the heavens and the earth, took time out to tell me where a missing sock was. But it didn't happen until I asked him. 3 or 4 days went by without any wisdom. But all along, the Lord's up there, I know where it's at. If you would just ask me, I'll tell you. Are you with me now? So many times, we're not asking God for wisdom. We're trying to do it in our own strength. Someone needs to hear this morning, because a lot of times we're going about our business. We're trying to do the right thing and we're doing our thing, you know, and so forth. But we're really not asking Him for wisdom. You're invited to go to someone's house. You need to ask for wisdom. Oh, am I supposed to go there? Am I supposed to go there? Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone a place before with someone that invited you and you knew that you weren't supposed to go there? And then you paid a price for it later? Huh? We don't need to go into detail, but you know what I'm talking about. Because when you're on your faith journey sometimes, I'm telling you, the devil will try everything he can within his power to sidetrack you to get with people you're not supposed to get with.
It's true.
Okay? My confession is this. I am always at the right place at the right time. I know what to say and what not to say. Now, that's not pride. I'm leaning on heaven. I'm leaning on God. I always know what to say and I know what not to say. I know where to be and where not to be. That's my confession. She says it. We say it. And when we say that, we find ourselves to be at the right place at the right time. Now, wavering would have been like this. Father, you know where that sock is? 5 minutes later, did you see that thing? Do you know where it's at? That's wavering. But when you ask, and you ask in faith, you can rest assured that the answer is on the way. Sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous. That's you and that's me. Not from the righteous. It's laid up for us. Oh, and His wisdom, when you receive His thoughts. See, it doesn't come like you think it does sometimes. That was just a very subtle thought that entered my mind about where that sock was. You could easily bypass that. You could say, that's just me. But let me tell you something. It's like Jacob said, the Lord was in this place. We didn't even know it. So God doesn't always show up with a trumpet and with a splitting sky and says, here is your answer right now. Sometimes it's very subtle. Remember that about Elijah? It says there was a great storm and there was the wind and then, what was it? Yeah, there was a storm and so forth. It says the Lord was not in the storm. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake, you know, but in the still small voice. So sometimes we think, God, well, He can speak to us through a thunderous voice. Yes, He can. But more often than not, He will speak in a small, still, small voice that you and I have through the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And He's there to lead us and to guide us. Listen, don't assume anything, but lean on the Lord. And I'm telling you, as you wake up in the morning, you're in the shower, you're driving to work or something, it just takes a few minutes to say, Lord, You said in Proverbs 3 that I'm not to lean in my own understanding. I'm to trust in You with all of my heart and not lean in my own understanding. And all my ways acknowledge You and You shall direct my path. Okay? So I'm asking You for wisdom right now. Show me what to do today, Lord. And then just go about your business and expect Him to lead you and to guide you. Amen? And so often sometimes we get with, sometimes especially with people, we get with individuals we're not supposed to be connected with. On paper, it looks good. Right? Logically, logic can get you in trouble. But your heart is smart. And your heart will never lead you astray. Because that's where God lives. Have you ever done something out of guilt or obligation? Were you better off after you did that thing? No. For crying out loud, you probably needed a psychologist for 3 days after that. Just making a point. Amen? That would even go for ministry sometimes. There's people that God's ordained for you to listen to feed upon. That doesn't mean that everybody else is bad. But there's a group of people that God wants you to feed on and to listen to and to get ministered to. Okay? That doesn't mean you're closed-minded, that you can't listen to the 30 other preachers that are out there. We're not saying they're bad. But in my own case, there are certain ministries that Lynn and I, we feed on them. God says, you're connected. Just like that Philip was, when he saw that Ethiopian eunuch out in the middle of the desert, and the Spirit of the Lord said, go join yourself to that chariot. That was his mission. Go join yourself to that chariot right there. I got a word for him. And see, God is joining us with people, with ministries and things like that, so that you can continually get ministered to, continually get fed the Word of God, so you get help. Amen? Are you with me now? Praise God. How much time do we got here? Oh, we're almost out of time. Yeah. That darn clock. Should I put a quarter in it and the meter and make it go another? Okay. Okay, this is one more scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 for a minute here. What to do when I don't know what to do? We'll wrap this up here this morning. Number one is you pray for wisdom and don't waver. You pray for wisdom and you don't waver. And you hold fast until that answer comes. This would be regarding like things that you've lost, car keys, conversations you're about to get into, and any number of things. The second thing, I want to just touch on this right now. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Number one, you pray for wisdom. Number two, realize that we have a supernatural prayer language. Amen. Hallelujah. What is that? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Speaking with other tongues. Amen. Now look at Romans 8 here, and we'll conclude here. It says, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities. Now, whose infirmities are they? They're ours. The word infirmity simply means inability to produce results because of the limitations of the flesh. Weakness, yeah. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. And it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. Okay, so what do I do when I don't know what to do? You pray for, number one, you pray for wisdom. Secondly, God has given you and I a supernatural prayer language called tongues, which is all through the Bible, the New Testament. And he's given us that language so that we can pray out the mysteries, things that are a mystery to us. We can pray them out in other tongues. Now, he didn't say that we don't know how to pray. He said, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, then you can tap into the wisdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. When I prepare for my messages and things that I'm going to be sharing with y'all, you know, and it's been this way for many, many years, that the way that I, here's how it works for me, the way for me to tap into the wisdom of God is to take some time and to pray in other tongues. Just in my own privacy. Praise God. In my house, my car, wherever I'm at, to pray it. Father, there's some things that you know, there's a million and one things you could share on. There's a million subjects you could teach on. How many of you know that? But there's a right word for the folks that are here. And I want to have the right word. I want to have the right message. Right? Whether there's five here or 500 here or 5,000 here, I want to have the right message for you. Okay? It's not just a canned message you pull out of the can and say, oh, we'll teach on this today. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so I'll take some time and I'll say, now, Lord, I ask you for wisdom right now, just like I said. Show me what it is that's on your heart that you want me to communicate to the people of God. So I'll take some time. I'm just using this as an example. Oh, prestige, malabongra, siete kasha. And sometimes I'll know immediately. And other times it might be an hour or two. Sometimes it might be a couple of days. But I'll just continue to pray in the Spirit, enter into rest. That rest in your spirit. And all of a sudden, from somewhere down inside here, comes the wisdom of God. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And all of a sudden, what's in here, my spirit comes up to my mind, and all of a sudden, That's it. That happened with this series right now. The last series as well. And throughout the future, if Jesus tarries. We inquire of God. See, David did that too. He didn't just go out to war. Assumption can be very dangerous. And so they were facing an enemy. He, the Bible says he inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord, do you want me to go up and take this battle? You want me to fight in this battle? And so the Lord said, yep, and you're going to win. So he got the God, he got the mind of God first, and they went out to battle. Amen? The Israelites, at other times, when they disobeyed God, they assumed that the Lord was behind them, and they went out and got slaughtered because they didn't seek God. The key is to inquire of God, do you want me to do this, Lord? Amen? I always said this, that a good idea isn't necessarily a God idea. There's a lot of good ideas. But I have to pray. I mean, I have a lot of times people make suggestions. I have no problem with that at all. But I'm always very, very courteous in the sense to say, you know, that's a great idea, but I want to pray about that. Okay? A few months ago, somebody came to me about something, you know, and asked me about something. I said, let me pray about that. Okay? I'm not opposed to it. I'm not against it. I'm going to pray about it, you know. Well, that's about as far as it went. There was nothing beyond that. Nope, I'm not supposed to do that. Okay? And just because someone else is doing something or another church is doing something doesn't mean I'm supposed to do it. Okay? We can get ourselves in a massive heap of trouble when we try to compare ourselves to other people. Well, they're doing it. Look what's happening to them. Listen, we just got to follow what's in our hearts to do. Okay? And so basically, in essence here, in conclusion, this scripture right here is saying, when we don't know how to pray as we should, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Okay? And the verse 28, you know, is all connected to praying in the Spirit when it says all things work together for good, you know. And I know that's, you know, that's been probably one of the most misabused scriptures in the body of Christ for years. And I've been around this Christian stuff for well over 35 years now. Okay? And I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of people. I've heard a lot of sermons. And you hear people say things like, well, you know, that Uncle Joe was in a car wreck. But you know what the Bible says? All things work together for good. My sister came down with terminal whatever disease, you know, but all things work together for good. That's not what that's talking about. Dear God. It's about praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, in context of what he's talking about there, praying in other tongues, you're able to pray the will of God, the mind of God, the perfected plan of God, and by that, all things are working together for good. Are you with me? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
You think about how much God cares for you and how much God loves you. He says, I'm going to give you a supernatural prayer language so that when you're clueless, you can shift in to praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you do that, oh, dear God, you're praying heaven and earth together. That's why the devil has been so firmly against speaking with other tongues. It's the truth. Religious folks, I mean, you talk about ruffling feathers. Now, it's because they don't understand it. But see, there's a difference between being ignorant and then willfully being ignorant. There's a time when you just don't know, but you're open. But then there's people that are vehemently against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to hear any scriptures. They don't want to hear anything about it. They want nothing to do with this tongues thing. Okay? There's a big difference. Now, we have to stay teachable. And if we're teachable, the Lord will show us that this is a pattern all through the book of Acts. I'm telling you, it's all through the book of Acts, and it's for the church today. Have there been abuses of tongues? Of course. Have there been people that abuse? That's why there's three chapters in the Bible written on the abuses of tongues. Amen? I mean, you look over at 1 Corinthians 13, you know, what we usually quote at weddings and stuff. You know, love is patient, love is kind, so forth and so on. Amen? That whole chapter there, chapter 12, 13, and 14, is all about the power of God. Gift of there's two chapters dedicated to speaking with tongues. Entire chapters. And Paul says, if I have the gift of faith to remove mountains, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. If I give my body, talk about an ultimate sacrifice. If I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it profits nothing. Someone can actually, it's one thing to give of your substance, but to actually give of your life to some, you know, if it's not done in love, it profits nothing. That's why if you're a giver, how many givers we got here? You make sure you operate in the love of God. Because let me tell you something, you step out of the boundaries of love, it will short circuit the power of God from working on your behalf. And that harvest could be sitting out there waiting to come your way, but it has to hold, it has to wait. It's on standby because you forgot about the first commandment, love. Love. So everything that we do should be out of a heart of love. Amen? I don't give to someone just to impress them. You know what I mean? If that's my motive, that's all I receive. But if I'm giving because I love people and I care for people, I mean, well, you better believe it. There's a reward coming your way. Amen? Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? We pray for wisdom, number one. Number two, take some time to pray in the Spirit. Now I'll say this in conclusion as we close here, that if there's anybody here in this room right now that has never been baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoken with other tongues, this biblical encounter is for you. If the only qualification, listen, the only qualification to being filled with the Spirit is being born again. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you qualify to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the Lord's not going to make you do that. He's not going to force it on you. But if you want it, we have a place of prayer after the service is over. We're not going to do it in front of everybody here. We have a, in fact, the kids' room over there, it's a private area over there. If you are interested in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues, immediately come to us after the service. Okay, don't wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You come up to us immediately, and I'll have someone. I'm going to have Brother Dan, Sister Lisa. Is that okay? And they will take you back. They've had much experience in this, getting people baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is your day. Amen? Now, you don't have to figure it all out. All you got to do is receive, and they'll share with you how to do that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's close our eyes for a moment here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I see that. There's many that are in this room right now that have asked. You've asked for wisdom regarding some such situations that you're facing. You've asked God, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do. Show me what to do, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you shift over and don't ask Him anymore for the same thing, don't ask the Lord about that same thing, but shift over and start to say it like this. Lord, I prayed this time ago, whatever, a week ago, a month ago, whatever. Lord, I prayed for that. Now, I'm not asking you again. I'm just going to thank you for the wisdom. I thank you. And you stay in thanksgiving. And the Lord just showed me this. He said, if you stay in the area and the attitude of thanksgiving and gratefulness and thanksgiving, that your answer will show up this week. It will come this week, this day, this week. Your answer will show up because you shifted gears spiritually. You've stepped over into quit. You're not asking anymore. You're thanking Him for the wisdom that you asked for. Now, that could pertain to anything, okay? Remember that? But you say it like this, oh, Father, I prayed about that already. I'm giving you thanks right now. I'm giving you praise and thanks right now that I have the wisdom of God about this situation, and you just go about your business. And I'm telling you, you could be driving in your car. You could be at work. You could be walking through a store somewhere, and all of a sudden, this thought crosses your mind. There's my answer right there. I see that. I see that. Glory to God. So if that pertains to anybody here, that's your answer right there. Didn't we pray for wisdom in the service when we first started? That's your answer right there. You shift over and, oh, thank you, Lord. Just do it in your own language. You don't have to do it like someone else. Just do it like you talk. Okay? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now that I have wisdom about that situation. I know what to do. I thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah.